Well, good afternoon, everyone, on a very beautiful Sabbath. It's good to see all of you here. And right now, this hall looks very, very nice, and I'm glad we can have a place to meet today and that it is air-conditioned. It was, about 85 when we got in here, and it's now 78. So maybe by the time we leave, it'll get down to 70, so we hope. But certainly good to see everybody. So we are continuing in our Bible study series on how the Bible was put together. Last time we covered the period of the former prophets, which lasted from Joshua all the way through the Judges, Samuel, and Kings. And that included the writings of David and Solomon. So today we're going to cover a period of canonization where the Bible was put together that took place during the reigns of Hezekiah and Isaiah, and they worked together, and Jeremiah and Josiah. And so this is, the title is Canonization Part 3, The Major Prophets. The Major Prophets. So after King Solomon, Israel split in two. The northern tribes went into idolatry, and then they were exiled. The purpose of the Bible at that time, during the time of the major prophets, was to preserve and to protect the words of God from being changed or corrupted or destroyed. So first of all, let's look at what happened during the time of Hezekiah, and we find this in 2 Chronicles 29. 2 Chronicles 29. Verse 1-5. You might want to put a bookmark in 2 Chronicles 29 as we'll be coming back and forth to this particular chapter. So Hezekiah became king when he was 25 years old. He reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. Very, very rarely do you see that the king's mother's names are listed, but in this case, her name is listed. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord. So in the first year of his reign, in verse 3, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. And he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them in the east square. And he said to them, "Hear me, Levites. Now sanctify yourselves, sanctify the house of the Lord, your God of your fathers. Carry out the rubbish from the holy place." So for many, many years, the temple actually had become like a garbage dump. No one was going in there, no worship was taking place, and there was rubbish. Kind of like, all kinds of things that were just thrown in there and left in there. They cleaned it all out. And he goes on to say, "Our fathers have trespassed and done evil." Now look at verse 30. In verse 30. "Moreover, King Hezekiah and the leaders commanded the Levites to sing praise to the Lord with the words of David and of Asaph the sayer. They sang praises with gladness and they bowed their heads and worshiped." So Hezekiah reinstitutes temple worship, and they are now singing praises of King David. They would have had to have that written down somewhere. They would have had the Psalms of Asaph written down somewhere. So they were using the Psalms. Last time we saw a glimpse of what Hezekiah's men did, that they copied certain proverbs from the writings of Solomon. And we saw that in Proverbs 25, verse 1, that the men of Hezekiah copied these words. Where did they copy them from? Where were some of those proverbs? Where were some of those words? Now, it could be possibly from some material, as we find here in 2 Chronicles 9. Let's look at 2 Chronicles 9. And in verse 29, you know, sometimes we'll read through these verses and don't realize what might be said here. But notice 2 Chronicles 9 and in verse 29. Now the rest of the acts of Solomon, first and last, are they not written in the book of Nathan the prophet? We don't have that book in the Bible. And in the prophecy of Ahijah the Shilonite. We don't have that prophecy either. And in the visions of Iddo the seer concerning Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. Three different books are noted here. We don't find them in the Bible. One wonders if some material from that did get into the Bible, into the accounts of Kings and Chronicles, and what we find in 1 Kings 11, verse 41. Let's look at 1 Kings 11. 1 Kings 11, verse 41. Now the rest of the acts of Solomon and all that he did and his wisdom, notice that, his wisdom, are they not written in the book of the acts of Solomon? Well, we don't have the book of the acts of Solomon, but we find some wisdom in that book. And one wonders if Hezekiah's men had access to those books and God inspired them, those men, to copy certain portions of those books that ended up in Proverbs and ended up in the rest of, as I said, Kings and Chronicles. One wonders. It could have happened. It could have come from some of those sources. Now, there's something else to consider, that Hezekiah and Isaiah were contemporary. They knew one another. Let's go to 2 Kings 20. 2 Kings 20. And let's look at verse 1. 2 Kings 20, verse 1. And this is one of my favorite sections of Scripture because you put yourself in Hezekiah's shoes and you see what he was facing. Hezekiah, 2 Kings 20, verse 1, was sick and near unto death. Isaiah, the prophet, he goes into him. Isaiah, and he says, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, you're going to die, and you're not going to live. Now, Hezekiah knew that Isaiah was the prophet, and whatever Isaiah said was going to come to pass. So putting yourself into Hezekiah's shoes, look what he did. He turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord. And I think all of us would probably do the same thing. You shut off everything around you, all what's going on around you. You turn in your bed, you face the wall, and you and God are talking. Just you and God. And he says, remember God, remember, O Lord, I pray. I've walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart. And he did. He reinstituted temple worship. I've done what is good in your sight. And he wept bitterly. And just thinking about that and seeing that, you know, that would be a very poignant scene in a movie if that ever was, you know, put on the screen. And it happened before Isaiah had gone out into the middle court. He was leaving. The word of the Lord came to Isaiah. You tell him, you go back and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I've heard your prayer. I've seen your tears. I will heal you. And on the third day, you will go up to the house of the Lord. You'll go up. Amazing. It's absolutely amazing, the healing. But more amazing is this relationship between Isaiah and King Hezekiah. Isaiah recorded some of what Hezekiah said in the book of Isaiah. Look at Isaiah. Let's just look at this in Isaiah 1, verse 1. We see the timing of Isaiah. Very clearly, we see that he gave his prophecies concerning Judah and Jerusalem, as it says, during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. So they were contemporary. But this is fascinating over here in Isaiah 38. Isaiah 38, and in verse 1. Isaiah 38, and in verse 1. In those days, Hezekiah was sick and near unto death. We already read that back in, as we saw in Kings. Okay, but what we did not read is from verse 9. Look at this section. From verse 9, this is the writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and recovered from his sickness. You go through verse 10 all the way through verse 20. And these are the words of Hezekiah written in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah quotes from Hezekiah. He reads from Hezekiah. This is now scripture. It's not clearly stated this way in the Kings. Some of it isn't. Most of it's right here in Isaiah. We would not have known this unless Isaiah had put this. These were his comments after he had been sick and how God intervened. Very inspiring set of scriptures. And then notice verse 19. 19, the living man, he will praise you as I do this day. The Father shall make known your word, your truth to the children. The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore, we will sing my songs with stringed instruments. So one wonders how many songs Hezekiah had written and were being sung all the days of our life in the house of our Lord. So here we see a proclamation that the songs and the words of God would be available for fathers to teach their children. And it's all recorded here in the book of Isaiah. Now, it's something also interesting to note that we do not find in the Bible, but it is found in Jewish history, in some secular history as well. And that is a seal that Hezekiah put onto 17 Old Testament books during the time of his reign. That seal consisted of three Hebrew letters. They were Kuf, Zayin, and He. Kuf, Zayin, and He in English are H-E-Z. H-E-Z are the first three letters of his name. And so this comes from ASK.com, the Associates of Scriptural Knowledge. I want to just quote one thing here that you can find this in Jewish history as well. This trigrammaton is located at the end of 17 Old Testament books. It served a dual purpose. Not only did it indicate the person of Hezekiah, but its meaning, H-E-Z, is instructive. And according to Brown Driver Briggs' Hebrew Lexicon, that H-E-Z means to bind firmly together, to be made firm, to be confirmed, to be bound fast. So there were, at that time, Hezekiah putting his seal on 17 books. We won't go through all the names of the books, but what we find is that during this time of Hezekiah and Isaiah, a number of books are officially recognized as scripture, which they had already been before. But let's also notice 2 Chronicles 26. 2 Chronicles 26. And we will look at verse 22. 2 Chronicles 26, verse 22. Now, the rest of the acts of Uzziah, from first to last, the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, wrote. Isaiah wrote some things about Uzziah that you find in Kings. Let's also look at chapter 32, 2 Chronicles 32, verse 32. 2 Chronicles 32, verse 32. Now the rest of the acts of Hezekiah and his goodness, indeed they are written in the vision of Isaiah. We already saw that. And in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. So here we find that Isaiah authored some of the kings. And in this book of the kings, he includes these stories of Amaziah and Isaiah. To me, it's kind of fascinating to see this internal evidence of what was happening during these times. Now let's go to the time of Josiah and Jeremiah. Now, this is found in 2 Chronicles 34. 2 Chronicles 34. We read this some time ago about being young, and we still can learn about Josiah. He was 8 years old. And we find in the eighth year of his reign, when he was 16, he purged Judah and Jerusalem of the high places. Now notice verse 8. 2 Chronicles 34, verse 8. In the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and temple, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, Messiah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Jehaza, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. So it fell into disrepair before Josiah, after Hezekiah, but then before Josiah. Again, it was in disrepair. He goes and repairs it. Verse 14. Verse 14. Now, when they had brought the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. He found it in there in the temple. And he brought it to Shaphan. So you find in verse 18, Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah has given me the book. Shaphan read it before the king. And it happened when the king heard the words of the law, he tore his clothes. The king commanded Hilkiah and the others here in verse 21, go inquire of the Lord for me, for those who are left in Israel and Judah concerning the words of this book. It's found, great wrath of the Lord is poured out on us because we've not kept the words of the Lord. The book was read. Now, if he's reading from the law, he for sure is reading from also Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. Those are the chapters that contain the blessings and the cursings, blessings for obedience, cursings for disobedience. Josiah inquired of God, and at that time they went through a prophetess, as it says in verse 22. Notice then what God says in verse 26. 26. As for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire the Lord, in the manner you shall speak, thus says the Lord God of Israel concerning the words that you've heard. Because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before God when you heard his words against this place, against its habitation, you humbled yourself. You tore your clothes and wept before me. I've heard you, says the Lord. Surely I will gather to you to your fathers. You will die. You'll be gathered to your grave in peace. So when you're dead, to be gathered to your grave, there'll be peace for that to happen. And your eyes will not see all the calamity that I bring upon this place. That was a prophecy to Josiah. Nothing will happen while you are the king. Nothing will happen that is prophesied in these books that you just read. Josiah is killed in battle. Chapter 35, verse 1. After he had kept a Passover the Lord, as it says in verse 1 of chapter 35, they kept this Passover. In verse 8, chapter 30, well, I'm sorry, chapter 35. Let's look at, wait a minute now, where am I? Okay, chapter 35, verse 1 and 2, the Passover was kept. Verse 17, 2 Chronicles 35. The children of Israel kept the Passover at that time, 7 days. No Passover like it was kept since the days of Samuel, a great Passover and days of unleavened bread. In the 18th year of his reign, Josiah kept that Passover. Verse 23. Josiah went out to battle against the king of Egypt. The king of Egypt said, I have nothing to do with you, Josiah. Why are you coming out? But Josiah did. He went out to battle. Well, an errant arrow flies through the sky and shoots Josiah. Verse 23, the king said, take me away, for I'm severely wounded. The Egyptians were not coming in to do anything to Josiah or to Jerusalem. They were on their way to battle somewhere else. So they took him out of his chariot, verse 24, and they brought him to Jerusalem, and he died, and he was buried in the tombs of his father. So in a sense, he died while he was in battle, but it was not a battle that he was even supposed to be in. And then they were able to bury him in peace because they were not being attacked by the king of Egypt. He dies. All of Jerusalem mourns for him. Now we come to verse 25. Jeremiah. Oh, Jeremiah laments for Josiah. And today, this day, the singing men and the singing women speak of Josiah in their lamentations. They made it a custom in Israel, and indeed they are written in the laments. The rest of Josiah's acts and all that he did in verse 27, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. So they're included there. This is after Isaiah. So did Jeremiah have a part in that? Could very well be. Who wrote Lamentations? Jeremiah. Jeremiah knew what was going to come on Judah after King Josiah died. Remember, God said, nothing will come upon Judah as long as Josiah is alive. Jeremiah writes the book of Lamentations after Josiah is killed. Let's go to Jeremiah 1, and we find the times he wrote, and when he was inspired to write. Jeremiah 1, the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, the priests who were in Anathoth of Benjamin, in whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon. He was there during that time. And in the days of Jehoiakim and Zedekiah. And, of course, until the carrying away of Jerusalem captive. So you see the time that he wrote. So eventually, Judah goes into captivity. Now we know that those who went into captivity were also Ezekiel and Daniel. Ezekiel and Daniel. What happened to the scriptures all this time? Where are they? Let's look at a couple of interesting scriptures in Daniel. Daniel 1. And let's look at verse 3. Daniel 1. And verse 3. The king instructed Asphanez, the master of the eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles young men in whom there was no blemish, but good-looking, gifted in wisdom, possessing knowledge, quick to understand, had the ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. These were very smart young men here that were brought in from the of the captivity to serve in Nebuchadnezzar's court. Daniel 9, after many visions that he had and interactions with Nebuchadnezzar and some of the other kings and Darius, we find he's praying. Daniel is praying in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus. This is chapter 9, verse 1. And we know that the Persians were now, they had already taken Babylon, they are in power. Notice verse 2, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. The books. I understand by the books. And I understood by the words of Jeremiah that there'd be 70 years, and that time's up. When are we going to go back into Jerusalem? Very astute man, but he had the scriptures. Somehow he had access to the scriptures. We see a little bit more about this in verse 11. Verse 11. Yes, all Israel transgressed your law and has departed so as not to obey your voice. Therefore, the curse and the oath written in the law of Moses, the servant of our God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against God. And he saw the history. He saw what happened to Israel and the northern tribes and what had already happened to them for the past 70 years. And then notice this. He has confirmed, verse 12, he's confirmed his words that he spoke against us and against our judges who judged us by bringing upon us a great disaster. For under the whole heaven, such has never been done as what has been done to Jerusalem. And this is all written in the law of Moses, that this disaster has come upon us. It talks about Jeremiah. He talked about Jeremiah. He talks about the law. He talks about the judges. He had the judges that he could look through and see what happened at that time. It seems that Daniel had possession of the scriptures somehow, in some way. Also, Ezekiel was in captivity during this time. Let's look at one verse in Ezekiel, actually two verses, Ezekiel 14. Ezekiel 14. Ezekiel was given a prophecy by God, and Ezekiel knew about these men. Ezekiel 14, verse 12, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, when a land sins against me by persistent unfaithfulness, I will stretch out my hand against it, I'll cut off its supply of bread, send famine on it, and cut man and beast off from it. Even if these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they would deliver only themselves by their righteousness, says the Lord. Job's righteousness is noted, as is Noah's righteousness. These are found in the books. These are found in Scripture. And Daniel was noted as a man of righteousness. We see it's found later in Ezekiel 28. So, during this time of the major prophets, we see the books of the kings was added to what Samuel had originally started in the book of the kings in Samuel. We also see that Isaiah and Jeremiah, the Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, along with a major number of the minor prophets, are also written during this time. So by the time Judah now comes out of Babylonian captivity, a very important time of canonization takes place. And this is during the time of Ezra and Nehemiah and what they do to codify and put together the books of the Old Testament that Jesus and the others used, Jesus' ministry had the book, had the Old Testament and scriptures, and it was all codified during the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. We will see that next time in our Bible study.